This is a call to action. And that's why I believe God gave me the privilege to come to you back again. So together we can take more action that either one of us can take alone. And that's what God does. I love that. God brings different parts of the body of Christ together to use them to do something that none of them can do alone. Okay, so my job is to give you what God gave me. Your part is to connect with God and to know what kind of action God wants you to take. So the first part of the message is every four persons living in the world today, one of them is a Muslim. Muslim population doubles every 20 years. We have in America right now about 18, 19, 20 million Muslims. How do I know that? From experience. I live in Orange County, California. We have about 500,000 Muslims. Los Angeles, next door to me, about 1 million Muslims. I go to Calvary Chapel Fremont in California. Actually, Pastor Tim Brown, you know, support our ministry. And he told me, we support your ministry because we have in Fremont, California, 40,000 Afghani Muslims. And we want you to come do satellite program, TV program, so we can reach them in every way possible. And we want you to do your book in Farsi, so we can reach the Farsi-speaking Muslims. I go to Dearborn. We rent a table. We put thousands of materials. Last time we had two tables, and we had a crowd of about 40, 50,000 Muslims passing by our tables in 3 days period, and we try to give them the materials. Maybe every six, seven Muslims, one of them take the materials, so the degree of their openness increase every year. And I go to Calvary Chapel, Rochester, Minnesota. It's a small church. Pastor Don Ripestra told me, we love your ministry and we invite you to come as many times as possible. And we want to help you because we have 20% of Rochester, Minnesota are Somali Muslims. So just to make a long story short, Muslims are growing very rapidly, not only Asia and Africa, but actually Europe, Canada, Australia, and America. Now, most of these Muslims don't understand what we talk about in the Bible. Muslims usually say, you Christians say Jesus is the Son of God. How dare you? The Quran told us, how can God have a son if he doesn't have a wife? And you say God loves his son. You expect us to believe that? If you are a father, you saw a bunch of criminals killing your child, wouldn't you go to rescue your son? Don't you love your son? In other ways, since they were children, Muslims are taught certain way. They received certain logic, reasons to believe Islam is from God. Christianity does not even make sense. The Bible may be God corrupted. They never been introduced to the beauty, depth, and power of the Christian faith. The reasons, the evidence, the logic of the biblical teaching of the Christian faith never been communicated to most of the Muslim people in the world effectively. And when I say effectively, I'm sure most of you will agree with me, it has to be in a way they can understand. Because communication happens not only through the words of the speaker, but most importantly, through the understanding of the listener. Right? I know that very well. Changing my culture from Egyptian, Middle Eastern culture to American culture, when I first came to Orange County, California, in 1980, I had a culture shock for 5 years. I still have a culture shock sometimes. I'll give you an example. I used to be very lonely, so I would go to my church a few times a week, and I see a beautiful American girl worshiping Jesus. Beautiful, blonde, white, blue eyes. And I say, wow, she loves Jesus, and she's beautiful. So I go to her. My name is Sammy Tanago. I am from Egypt. Nice to meet you. And she looks at me usually suspiciously and say, what's up? See, nothing up. I just want your parents' phone number. My parents. Why? Because my parents are coming. I want my parents to call your parents. What for? To be honest with you, you are so beautiful. I like you. I've been watching you, and you love Jesus. And maybe we can talk with our families. I don't know, but maybe we can think together and talk with our families. Maybe it's God's will. We get married. Married, this is weird. No, I'm not weird. I'm normal. And the more I try to get the family involved, the more I'm rejected. And believe me, for a couple of years, I wondered why. Why? I had pure motives, great sense of humor. I look good. Hey, 35 years ago, I really looked cool. Now I'm getting old, you know. To me, this is the most honorable way to approach a girl. And this still is. The family has to be involved. To her, this is the most ridiculous, uncool way that any man can approach her. You know, I discovered, after a couple of years of doing this, that God taught me a big lesson. God told me, now, if you want to fulfill your calling, if you want to win as many people, Muslims, to Christ as possible, I want you to start praying and thinking seriously, how can you answer their questions about the Christian faith in the best way possible? How can you penetrate their heart and engage their feelings using stories and illustrations, because they are emotional? So God spoke to me, actually, and told me, I want you to use your mind to be able to effectively share Jesus and my love with them. Don't just do it automatically, routinely, carelessly, you know, just talk to them about me. No, I want you to start praying and start thinking. And actually, you know, I can share with you something quick. God taught me through the years many, many ways to use their objections as a stepping stone to the gospel. I'll give you an example. We ask Muslims, how about the prophet Abraham? Now, Muslims are commanded to follow Abraham's faith, and Muhammad is commanded to take Abraham as an example of the true religion. So we ask Muslims, well, Abraham not only watched his son being murdered, but actually Abraham one day was taking his son in one hand and a knife to butcher him with the other. How come you say he's an example of the true religion and true faith? How come you consider him a good prophet or a good father? And God said, do not kill. Certainly not your innocent child. Muslims will say, no, that was different. Well, how different? He was about to kill his son. Now, Muslims will agree with us that if Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son to God, then he proved beyond any doubt that he has a perfect sacrificial love for God. Because the measure or evidence of love is how willing are you willing to sacrifice? How much are you willing to sacrifice? So we tell Muslims, wow, that's exactly what God wants us to discover. Because we read in the Bible, Romans 5:8, God manifested, demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God sacrificed his son to show us how passionately, how much he loves us. And why God asked Abraham to give him his son? The commandment even doesn't look good. Why not give him his hard-earned money or land or sheep or anything else or fast or pray? Muslims will agree with us that if Abraham was willing to give his son to God, then he proved that he is willing and ready to give God everything and anything he has. That was a test. And sometimes God tests us. And Muslims will say, yes, we agree. And we tell Muslims, wow, that's exactly what God wants us to discover. Because we read about God in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up, gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? So we tell Muslims, the moment we put our faith in Jesus, and we became a children of God, and we experienced the forgiveness of our sins, at that moment and now we know in the depth of our heart that God is willing and ready to share with us and give us everything the best life we can ever have here and the eternity to share his kingdom in his presence. And God proved that to us when he gave us his son. So now we are not ignoring their objections. Actually, we are using their objections, starting where they are at, and we are taking them step by step where God wants them to be, and we are penetrating their hearts and using their beliefs to make a far more powerful presentation of Jesus than any normal presentation would have achieved. Now, this is important because Jesus gave us a clear parable in Matthew 13 that some seed fell on the lives of people that did not understand. And it was easy, if you remember that parable, it was easy for the wicked one to snatch the word of God that was sown in their hearts. Okay, so this is the first point that God wants you to become aware of, the great need to do that, to communicate Jesus effectively with Muslims. Why it is important? Because most of the churches, for example, in America, know nothing, have no idea about how to share Jesus effectively with Muslims. Okay, and you know, I got an email here of one of the Southern Baptist director. His name is Richard Vera. He asked me to speak in his conference. I told him I can't. I'm committed to speak someplace else, but I gave him everything God gave me, and he sent me a few emails. One of the emails, he said something so true. He said, most Christians respond to Muslims in either one of two ways. One, they keep a distance from them because they feel inadequate to witness to them. They don't know how. Or two, they keep them at arm's length out of suspicion, fear, or anger. So what happened is Satan used 9/11 terrorist attack and wars between Muslims and Americans, Afghanistan, Iraq, American soldiers killed, and of course all of us pray for our American government and soldiers. Satan used Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and of course most of the Christian leaders are pro-Israel 100%. So Satan used our love for America and support to Israel, and he penetrated our hearts and minds, and he put negative feelings and thoughts toward the Muslims. Why? Because he knew that we always like to share Jesus with somebody that we love or somebody that loves us. But our enemies, they can go to hell. And that is exactly what Satan managed to accomplish. And I'll give you an evidence. The church leaders in America spend billions of dollars every year on so many things, and they don't spend 2% of their budget to share Jesus effectively with Muslims who never heard it communicated to them one time in their lifetime. Okay, so this is the first point. What is the second point? The second point is God's heart and God's mind. And the story starts from the beginning, Genesis 12. God chose Abraham, told Abraham, I will bless you, and through you, underline the word all. So it was God's original plan from choosing Abraham to bless him and use him as a blessing to all the families of the earth. And I feel God is telling us the same thing. God is telling you the same thing. I chose you and I blessed you. Now we can mention a couple of things. God put us in the greatest country in the world, America. God guided us to a genuine Christian movement, Calvary Chapel. God gave you, for you, awesome pastor, Pastor Rob. You know, I love the church here because not only Pastor Rob, but many wonderful people in the church here comes early and have a smile and serve God with a willing heart. You know, I met so many wonderful people already here. And, you know, RJ, many, many wonderful people serving from all their heart. And we have a sinful nature. We fall short. God forgave all of our sins, past, present, future, because of his grace and mercy, because of what Jesus done. Life is tough, challenging. We suffer sometimes. There is problems. There is bad people. Satan is against us. God said, no problem. I will live within you, unite myself to you, so you don't have to face a difficult moment alone. Life is short. God said, no problem. I gave you eternal life. You know how short life is? You know how short life is. It can end like that. Boom. A friend of mine, worship leader, 52 years old, heart attack, dropped dead a couple of weeks ago. I was in Colorado speaking in worship, Calvary Worship Center. One of the staff in Calvary Chapel Aurora told me, Pastor Ed Taylor, his son is a police officer, 27 years old, heart attack, boom, perfect health. God just want to give us a message that, hey, don't take life for granted. Life is unpredictable. And maybe 15 more years, half of us here will be getting old and sick or dead, and the other half, most of them, will be old and sick, and they will die soon. This is the good news I came to share with you today. Happy New Year. You know, can you imagine that God put his spirit within us, and his spirit confirmed to us that heaven is our home and destiny, and we will one day share God's kingdom and glory and reign with God, new heaven, new earth. And God promised each one of us to reward us generously for any action that we did because we love him or because we love people. So God is telling all of us, as I chose Abraham and blessed him, so I can use his life as a blessing to all the families of the earth, I chose you. God called us by name, picked us up, blessed us now and forever, because he loves us, absolutely, but don't ever forget, he has big plans to use our lives as a blessing to as many families as we let him. This is my wife and I prayer every day. God bless us. Bless us in any way possible and use us as a blessing to as many people as possible. Okay, so now Genesis 17, God promised Abraham to bless Ishmael. Ishmael is the physical and the spiritual ancestor to the Muslim people. They came from Ishmael. And when God gave circumcision as a sign of the covenant to Abraham, Abraham and Ishmael were circumcised together. And the Bible records God was with Ishmael as he grew up. Genesis 16, God promised Hagar to multiply her descendants exceedingly. Hagar was called Abraham's wife one time in the Bible. And then in verse 11, God himself named Hagar unborn son Ishmael, which means God hears. Same verse, God heard Hagar's affliction. Genesis 21, God heard Ishmael crying. And God wants us to hear the cry of the people that don't know him and to hear the cry of Muslims. Now, Muslims are crying. Let me give you 2 points quickly. One of them, you have seen what happened in the Muslim world in the past 10, 15 years. Millions of Muslims, maybe tens of millions of Muslims, are fighting each other. Actually, many of them killing each other. And that's what's happening in my country, Egypt, in the past year. And the Muslims are discovering that their leaders are bad leaders, including the religious Muslim leaders. They are corrupt. They are criminals. They are suppressing them, denying them human rights, freedom of expression. And the Muslims now have questions about God and about faith more than ever. 2, they are crying because most of the Muslim world, most of the Muslim people sincerely desire to have the right relationship with God and to obey God and to please God. They are different than non-Christian Westerners. You know, many non-Christian Westerners don't care much about God, but not the Muslim. Muslims are God-conscious people. They have that from a childhood. They think about God most of the time. Now, most of the Muslim people are like Cornelius. You remember Cornelius? He was neither a Jew nor born-again Christian, but he was a God-fearing man, and he believed in God. And actually, the Bible records the alms of Cornelius were accepted. God was looking at Cornelius' efforts to have a good conscience and to do good works, and God said, I'm impressed. I accept what you are doing for me. Even though he did not know who God is, but he knew that there is a God, and he knew that God gave him a conscience, and he was trying to do the right thing, and God told Peter, Peter, go tell him Cornelius about Jesus. But before God can use Peter effectively, God needed to help Peter overcome his prejudice against a God-fearing man and God-believing man from a different background. And that's what God's trying to do in the church in America, to make the church go to Muslims, go to Arabs, and love them like you love the Jews and the Israelis and the blue eyes and blonde hair and the European and everybody else. And then tell them about Jesus. Now, remember in Genesis 21, a beautiful story. Hagar and Ishmael were dying from thirst in the desert. What happened? God intervened, told Hagar, do not be afraid. I hear the Ishmael crying. Lift up Ishmael by the hand. I will make into him a great nation. Wow! You know, this story proves that Ishmael's birth was not just simply, merely a mistake Abraham did. Because you will agree with me, if it were just a mistake, God could have let them die. Easy. But when God intervened and said these gentle words to Hagar and saved their lives through a miracle, he opened Hagar's eyes, she saw a well of water, and she drank, and Ishmael drank, and God saved their life. God proved that he has a special love for Ishmael and the marvelous plans from his birth and the birth of his children. And we have in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, 1,000 years later, after Ishmael's death, his name and his first two sons' names, Kedar and Nebaioth, were carefully recorded in the genealogies of the holy text. Remember these two names, Kedar and Nebaioth, Ishmael's first two sons. Why? Because in Isaiah 21, God told us that the Arab people came from Kedar. Why that is important? Oh, very important. Because in Isaiah 60, God told us, all Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offering on my altar. This is extremely exciting passage in the Bible. When I read those verses, I start jumping. I said, wow! And I ran to my Christian commentaries. I start trying to understand what does this passage mean exactly. I discovered that the time God gave these words to Prophet Isaiah and told him to say these words, Kedar and Nebaioth already had been dead 1,000 years ago. Did you get this? Aha. Which means God was not referring to Kedar and Nebaioth, but he was referring to their descendants. You know, when God told the prophet Isaiah to say these words, they were dead 1,000 years ago, Kedar and Nebaioth. Then clearly God was referring to their descendants. I will give you a personal testimony. I've been doing ministry to Muslims since I became born again in law school in Egypt. You know, got arrested, attacked physically a couple of times when I was in law school, when I was working as a lawyer. My wife also doing ministry to Muslims since 1980. She became born again. She was thrown in prison. Anyway, so God brought us together to do this ministry. 5 years ago, one day, God spoke to us and told us, wait, don't try to do this ministry by yourself. This is not your ministry. You need to start a nonprofit ministry and take this ministry to my church. I will open the door, and I want you to do two things, simple. One, motivate, equip my church to share Jesus effectively with Muslims, because you are not the only one I want to use. Two, invite the pastors and the believers who can help you, pray for you, do anything for you, to help you. So instead of you reaching a few Muslims every month, you can reach hundreds, then thousands, then millions. Good news, that's what's about to happen now. I'm very excited. So we said, wow, we're going to start a nonprofit ministry? Which Bible verse we're going to put in our letterhead? Immediately, as soon as we asked the question, God gave us John 10:16. You remember Jesus said, I have other sheep, are not of this sheepfold. I must also bring them. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock one shepherd. You know, if I have enough money now to go into Christian radio in America, I'm praying that one day will happen, I will go into all the Christian radio stations in America, and I will tell the American church, multitudes of these sheep are the flocks of Kedar and Nebaioth. Arabs and Muslims will be gathered together with their families. They will be saved in the day of the harvest, perhaps hundreds of millions. Now, Jeremiah 49, Iranian Muslims will come to Christ. So a few years ago, God spoke to me and told me, well, you got $10,000. I want you to translate your book. I wrote a book to share Jesus effectively with Muslims, translated to Farsi, the best translator in Colorado Springs, and print it and start giving to any Farsi-speaking Muslims. We have maybe 100,000 in Orange County and many places. And why? Because God will save Iranian Muslims, and he is waiting for people to take action. And actually, after we start giving the book, I got a few emails that Iranian Muslims came to Christ. That's one of the emails. You can read it. Iranian lady told me, oh, I've been trying to reach my Iranian Muslim father, could not be able to, but thank you for translating your book to Farsi. We gave it to him, and he came to Christ. See? This is what God is doing. Isaiah 19, wait, you haven't seen anything yet. Isaiah 19, God said he will save Muslims in Egypt, my country. So what did God do? God make the Muslim Brotherhood rise into power. They control the government. And we were praying, me and my wife and all the Christians in Egypt were praying, oh God, don't let the Muslim Brotherhood candidate win. Don't let him win. And he won. And we said, oh my God, our beloved Egypt country is going to be a horrible country. And it was horrible for a whole year. But God used that. Why? Because God used the Muslim Brotherhood president and government to put pressure on Christians, on the church. And you know, when we are under pressure, what do? We pray and we repent. That's how we are, you know. We say, oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry about anything wrong I did. I want to be 100% according to your will. Get me out of this mess. Help me. And that's what the Christians done in Egypt. For a whole year, they repented and they united and they are filled with the Holy Spirit and they're becoming more spiritual. Okay? And then God used the Muslim Brotherhood government and officials and politicians and the president to say the wrong things and to do the wrong things. And the average Muslim compared the words and actions of the Muslim Brotherhood with the words and actions of the believers in Jesus that are being purified and filled with the Spirit. So they see here anger and judgment, and they see in the Muslims gentleness and grace and forgiveness. They see Muslim Brotherhood hatred and harshness, and then they look at the Christians and they hear love, and you get the idea. So more Muslims in Egypt now are saying, I think those Christians know God. We don't trust the religious Muslim leaders. And the prophecy will be fulfilled. Isaiah 19:25, God said, blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, the work of my hand, Israel, my inheritance. Acts 2, Arab people were evangelized. People in heaven will come from all over the world. You remember the Passion of Christ movie? Before the movie was released, a big rumor got out there. The movie is anti-Semitic because it shows that the Jews crucified Jesus. Now, we know the reason Jesus was crucified was not the Jews. This is the fulfillment of the prophecies. God is a just judge. He must punish the sinner or he will not be just. And actually, the natural consequence of sin is separation from God. But because God is love, he decided to take an additional nature, a human nature, and he came to us in the person of Christ as a man, as a human. He was able to share our humanity and represent us. And as God made manifest in the flesh, his sacrifice was valuable to pay the penalty for the sins of humanity committed against God. So Jesus was crucified because God wanted to provide a way for you and me, for humanity, that through faith in him, we can be united to him and saved from paying the penalty for our sins. Now, God used this rumor that the movie is against the Jews, against the Israelis, to do what? To get most of the Muslim leaders excited about the movie. So as soon as the movie was released, most of the Muslim leaders bought the movie, put it in their theater, and told their people, go watch what the bad Jews have done to the good prophet Jesus. Of course, I was jumping again. You're talking about hundreds of millions of Muslims ran to the theater all over the Muslim world, and I got reports from a friend of mine, missionary in the Middle East, told me, I saw by my eyes thousands of Muslims weeping when they saw Jesus crucified. Oh, yeah. Muslims are emotional. So God used the most extreme emotional method to penetrate their heart and make them feel his love and salvation. Now, Muslims are different than Westerners. Westerners, they are not so much impacted by feelings. I mean, they control their feelings. Americans are taught to control their feelings because they focus on achievement, accomplishment, making decisions, and they don't want to be impacted by feelings so much. You know, in America, your boss can drink coffee with you and have a nice conversation, and next day you are fired. How do I know that happens to me twice? I thought I was doing a good job. You know? Anyway, you know, what really excites me is God already started fulfilling the prophecies. And I brought with me some evidence, and you can look at them after the service. I got an email from Calvary Chapel Ridgecrest, Andrea, the secretary. She said, in 2001, my parents bought a truck from a Muslim salesman. They gave him a copy of your book, and he came to Christ. I spoke at Horizon School of Evangelism, a big church in San Diego, Mike McIntosh. I did a seminar, 8 hours. A Muslim lady came to the seminar. Pastor Chris Olson, he's still on the staff there, told me this Muslim lady came to Christ the second day. I got an email from a pastor, David Witt. David Witt helped persecuted Christians overseas. So I made a deal with him. I told him, if you need any materials while you can send it overseas to help Muslims know Jesus, let me know. So I gave him materials in Arabic, English, and French. And he sent me email. I am glad to share with you wonderful news of your book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, Impacting Lives in North Africa. I'm involved with the Muslim background believers in Jesus Christ in Northwest Africa. This country is listed 100% Muslim, yet we know of over 1,000 Muslims who have come to Christ in recent years. This April, two workers of Spirit of Martyrdom, that's his ministry, you can Google it, Spirit of Martyrdom Ministries, was delivering Bibles and Christian literature. I was able to send with them one Arabic Glad News book to share with the MBB in North Africa. MBB mean Muslim background believer. To see if this was a good encouragement to the work in that area, our MBB contact emailed us later saying this one book traveled the nation. Two Muslims accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Now they are requesting 500 books. And then the last email he sent me, he said, your book has made the Mauritanian news. So what happened is, the first section in my book proves that the Bible is the word of God. And even uses verses from the Quran. You imagine all the verses in the Quran that talked about the Bible confirmed that the Bible is the word of God. So, you know, as a defense lawyer, I took all these verses and I put it also with the manuscript evidence and eyewitness and the prophecy and everything else. So many Muslims, when they read the first section, they start after that reading the Bible. So the Mauritanian government put a picture of the Bible, major newspaper, and a picture of the book in Arabic, and warned the people of Mauritania not to read this book, giving me a free advertisement in the, you know. You imagine what God can do. You do something for God, and God is able to use it, the ripple effect, and multiply it. And, you know, you give one fish, and God can feed the multitude. God's amazing. You know, who would imagine that that will happen? Calvary Chapel Chattanooga, I spoke there in Tennessee, and then Pastor Eric Dyan sent me an email. He said, good news. After the second service, a Muslim woman from Libya, the first time she go to church, ran forward crying, and she said, who is the pastor? So they brought Pastor Frank. Pastor Rob probably knows him. And they told her, how can we help you? And Pastor Eric came, and she said, now, today I know God loves me. Jesus died to pay the penalty for my sins. I want to open my heart to Jesus. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I told her, sure. She said, can you pray with me? I said, sure. They prayed together, and she became born again, and she attended the Sunday night seminar that I did. And the Pastor Eric Dyan, the mission pastor, sent me email. Actually, they decided to support our ministry. And last year, they sent me email, and they said, there is more Muslims coming to Christ through your ministry? So I sent them a few more emails. They said, we are doubling the support. This is good investment. You know, this is how God works. I spoke at Calvary Chapel Tallahassee 10 years ago, and 5 years ago, and about 1 year ago. I got an email before I went to speak last time. And she said, my name is Malak. I am originally from Lebanon. I came to the States 2007 to finish my studies. I live in Tallahassee. I'm a Muslim. I have always been a Muslim. Anyway, somebody gave me a copy of your book. Let me say, since I read this book, I fell in love with God. I am now happier than before. I saw and felt what I haven't seen nor felt it before, God's love for me. The only problem now I feel I am in the middle, I am falling in love with Jesus. I told her, no problem, Malik. Keep praying, keep reading. You know, and she sent me another email. I am done reading this book. I'm planning to get a copy when I visit my parents in Lebanon in Arabic. Your book changed the way I look to God, certainly changed my life. The last email, thanks for helping me experience and enjoy God's love and salvation. When I spoke at Calvary Chapel Tallahassee about a year ago, I introduced Malak to the Holy Church, and during the second service, and it was a celebration. We cried, we laughed, we hugged. I spoke at Calvary Chapel San Luis Obispo. We won a Muslim in the university. Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, my church, we have a very important pastor. His name is John Chubek. Sent me email a few years ago. He told me, we gave your book to a very dedicated Iraqi Muslim lawyer. He read the book. He came to Christ. I spoke at Antioch of Calvary Chapel. The senior pastor sent me email. He said, also, it was amazing to find out that Leo, one of the members of our worship team, actually gave his life to Christ, got saved out of Islam, literally after reading a copy of your book. Also, the Sunday you came to share, a Muslim man by the name of Aaron gave his life to the Lord after hearing you speak as well. Obviously, it is not the 1 minute I spoke about Jesus that brought this Muslim man to Christ or brought this Muslim woman from Libya to Christ. Obviously, God was preparing them. So God wanna, the idea is God wanna fulfill the prophecy and God wanna use us. This is an email from the California Southern Baptist director. His name is Randy McWhorter. He sent me a letter, actually. He told me, Sammy, you spoke at my church when I was a senior pastor in Fountain Valley. A man in the church took two copies of your book, gave one to an ex-Muslim person, and they were able to win two Muslims to Christ. I mean, you know, I can't read to you all the emails, but you get the idea. And I am not sharing this with you so you can buy the book, because Pastor Rob told me we're going to buy any book that is left. So this is not the, you know, don't misunderstand me. But I am sharing this with you to show you that God already start fulfilling the prophecies. Now, in Egypt, before the Muslim Brotherhood took power, about 4 million Muslims came to Christ. One of them is my wife, born and raised as a Muslim, while she was studying Islam in Islamic University to become a Muslim teacher, Arabic teacher. She became born again. Before they threw her in prison, she started talking about Jesus, and one of the PhD Muslim professor became born again, believed her story. In prison, she met 3 ex-Muslims. They decided to keep their faith in God strong, and they started praying, they started singing Christian songs, And the one mini Muslim prisoner, Sukra, is, you can get a copy of her testimony outside. God is working all over the Muslim world. I mean, I can talk to you for a couple of days to show you from personal experience that Muslims are coming to Christ. But why? Why Muslims are coming to Christ? Because God is love. God loves his creation. God loves the people. And God finds his greatest pleasure in entering into a relationship with people, including Muslims, because God knows that people who do not enjoy a living relationship with him, do not enjoy his presence, these people are suffering. And God is longing to enter the lives of as many people as possible to alleviate their suffering and give them the best life they can ever have on earth. And that's what Jesus said. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And God enjoys his time in heaven when more people go there. And that's what Jesus said in Luke 15. There is a celebration in heaven when one sinner repents. Party time, the angels are dancing, hallelujah. One sinner repented over there, yes. That's what excites heaven more than anything else. Actually, that is the reason why God came. I mean, you imagine God took additional nature, human nature, came to us, stripped naked, spit upon, punched, slapped, whipped. God so suffered. Why? Because he so loved who?
The world.
The whole world. And you notice the greatest commandment in the Bible is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Have you noticed the second greatest commandment? That we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. But Jesus said something interesting. Jesus told the Jewish man, the second greatest commandment is exactly like the first one. Exactly like the first one mean. Exactly like. It means it's equally important. I wondered why. Because I can't love God. I can't cause celebrations in heaven. I can't make people benefit from his suffering. I can't satisfy his heart. I can't really love him in action without it. Loving my next door neighbor and helping my neighbor have a relationship with God. They are the same. And that's why Jesus said, if you notice, Jesus said, that's what the Bible is all about. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So now I have a suggestion. Because we have that book in 10 languages, and we give it to so many Muslims, and so many Muslims came to Christ. I am so excited. And God spoke to me a few years ago, because I fly a lot, and I meet so many wonderful non-Christian Americans. And God spoke to me and told me, well, you did something, and I used it. Why don't you do something else, you know? So God guided me to write a book to present his love and Jesus in an attractive and simple way to any non-Christian. Because I meet so many Americans, so I in the airplane, and sometimes I give this book to a girl next to me in the airplane, and I see her crying. I feel like God blessed that book. And again, I'm not telling you that so you can, you know, buy the book. Pastor Rob said, we'll buy any book that left. But you can actually take a free copy of that book. So I'd rather give you a free copy than Pastor Rob buy it. Okay. Take a free copy of that book. If you promise to establish a good relationship with one non-Christian person, neighbor, go to your neighbor, bake a cake, do something to manifest God's love to your non-Christian American neighbor. Through your eyes, tell your neighbor, I love you. Through your words, through your action, help your neighbor in any way possible. Tell your neighbor, I am so glad that you are my neighbor. We haven't met, but we are glad that we are neighbors, and I thought to introduce myself to you and to bring you this food or whatever. We do that a lot in Egypt. And give your neighbor this book if he likes to read, and invite your neighbor to church. Now, also, get that book to prepare yourself to witness to Muslims. Remember, Muslims are our neighbors. According to Disneyland in California, it's a small world after all. God want to save the bad Muslims, not only the good Muslims. Remember, God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah told him, Nineveh is part of the Assyrian Empire. They are wicked people. They are against your people, Israel. And God said, go to Nineveh. And that was the biggest revival in the Old Testament among the Ninevite. If you see a Muslim, tell him, Salam alaikum. Muslims are God-conscious people. They are frightened from God. They don't know where they are going. They are ripe for the gospel. I proved it to you. God want to equip you. Don't make any mistake about it. God wants you to be ready because you never know when God will give you a divine appointment. And let me tell you my story quickly. You know, I used to work as a defense lawyer in my father's legal firm in Egypt. My grandfather also a defense lawyer. And it's a good job to make lots of money, but it was not a job that helped me to live the Christian life and to fulfill my calling. Simply, most of my clients were drug dealers, and all of them were guilty. So I was using technicalities, something wrong with the arrest or search, to get them out of prison. And I did it for 2 years. You know how to live in sin? You know, for 2 years I lived in sin to be successful and famous like my father, make my father proud. And then God convicted me. God told me, what are you doing? You are making the guilty innocent. You are living to please your father, to build your kingdom. You're forgetting about us. What are you doing? You're lying in court every day. You are not talking about Jesus anymore. I told God, well, I can't. I tried. I got into trouble. And God told me, yeah, you can't talk about Jesus. If you can't, get out. So I got out. God talked to me from Hebrew 11 about Moses. And God told me, remember Moses. Was born and raised to be a prince in Egypt. Moses preferred to leave Egypt, suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. God said, don't be stupid. Where is your grandfather? He's dead. He lost everything. And now you are losing your relationship with me. You want to be a loser now and forever? I told God, no. God said, get out before it's too late. I got out of Egypt, came to America, started working in gas station, busboy, dishwasher, waiter for 17 years, went to UCI, studied law, legal terminology, graduated English. I studied for the California bar exam. Before I passed the bar exam, God brought my wife. And she said, stop. God brought us together, not to get rich, but God brought us together. You know why? I told her, I know. And she said, okay, let go of the bar exam. You have to let go of your career. So I told God, but I need to use my mind. God said, okay. And instead of using your mind to get rich, how about if you use your education, your experience, your ability to collect the facts, to do a research, to analyze issues, to present a case, all the training I gave you all your life, I want you to present Jesus in the most understandable and convincing, attractive way to educated Muslims. Write a book. Wendy, can we listen to my pastor testimony before we close? This is my story. This is my pastor, Chuck Smith.
Okay, we do have a fellow here at church who is an Egyptian, and he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know.
That's me.
Sammy Tanaho, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend.
Thank you, Wendy.
You can call the word.
The slides. So, what is that? Thank you, Wendy. Thank you. Just kidding now. Okay. So now, what does that show you? What did God prove to me? You know, our ministry was part of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa for 20 years. I had an office there. And then when we became nonprofit ministry 5 years ago, I moved my office to my home. But when I was at Calvary Chapel, many Muslims actually came and shook Pastor Chuck Smith's hand and told him, thank you for the ministry. We were Muslims. We became Christian because of the ministry you have. What does that show you? That a lot of Muslims come to Christ. It shows you that a huge number of Muslims are thirsty people drinking from salty water. They don't really believe in Islam, and they are waiting for us to answer their questions and to tell them about Jesus. So, and that's what we do. Okay, so now God, when we became nonprofit ministry 5 years ago, God brought us about 12 Calvary Chapel churches to support our ministry and a few believers, two, three believers from the churches I spoke at, and now we have the book in traditional Chinese, simplified Chinese, Albanian, Spanish, Arabic, Farsi, Russian, French, you know, many languages. And the ministry has been doing, producing the book, printing it, overseas, like you read in the ministry report, we printed the book in Israel. About 100 Muslims came to Christ in Israel, according to the president of Bethlehem Seminary. I mean, God is doing amazing things. So we've been winning, I don't know how many. I have no idea. Hundreds, thousands, I don't know. But now we have an opportunity to use satellite TV. And I did one program, and I am preparing right now 10 programs. And I want to approach, we have a few satellite Arabic Christian TV station in Orange County. And I am praying that God will use us to communicate the same information and more to tens of millions of Muslims in the Middle East. It covers the Middle East. It covers whatever TBN covers, okay? Europe, Australia, Canada, presence everywhere. So if God is guiding you, no pressure, zero pressure. If God is guiding you to help our ministry, share Jesus with more Muslims, you can do that through two things. One, above your tithing, you can make one-time donation to Glad News for Muslims. Two, you can join my monthly financial partner support team. I have a few believers from different parts of America that tell me, Sammy, we want to join your team. We want to help you every month. We want to keep that ministry going. Keep doing what you are doing. So you can fill this form. Actually, I forgot to bring this form, and I made some copies. You can fill this form and write here any amount that God is guiding you to give, but it has to be above your tithing. So you can write $15 a month or $20, whatever God's guiding you. And then by doing that, you're joining my team. But feel no pressure. If God is guiding you, and if it's above your tithing, and if it will cause no financial pressure to you, I can tell you something. We need financial partners, okay? We need a few hundred dollars more to be able to use the Arabic Christian Satellite TV. And also pray for me that God will open for me churches so I can equip more churches to witness effectively to Muslims, because most of the pastors are not like Pastor Rob. Most of the pastors tell me, Sammy, no, thank you, no, thank you. You don't need to come to us. This is your ministry. Most of the pastors don't want to be involved, trust me. I even in our last pastors' conference, senior pastors' conference, I spoke to about 1,000 pastors. Pastor Chuck Smith let me speak for a few minutes. And many pastors, I took their phone number and their address, and I sent them letter, and I called them. Maybe 2 or 3 out of 150 or pastors responded yes. And even the pastors in Orange County, 500,000 Muslims in Orange County, told me, no, thank you. We don't invite outside speaker. When we want to talk about Islam, we will think about you. So most of the churches, trust me, are not involved. Most of the believers are not involved. Most of the churches and believers are merely consumers of religious goods. They go to church to take, to enjoy, but they don't want to be involved in the ministry. That's why I give you this challenge, to be involved. Who is going to do the ministry in the church? Who is going to do the ministry? The church. I am not going to do the ministry. The pastor is not going to do the ministry. I mean, the pastor has a job to do. That's it. But who is going to make the church strong and fruitful? The members. I have something. God gave me something. I have a passion. I have a calling. I have experience. I have evangelistic tools. But who is helping me to do the ministry and to win all these Muslims to Christ? It's pastors like Rob that tell me, Sammy, we will send you a check. We will buy all the books. We will help you. You know, it's believers like you that say, Sammy, $10 a month. We commit $10 a month to give to your ministry, or $15 a month. Who is going to do the ministry? It's you. So don't ever underestimate your role in bringing people to Christ and bringing Muslims to Christ, and do far more exceeding things and awesome things than even your pastor can do. Because Satan comes to you and tells you, oh, you are just a member. You know, you are just an average Christian. You're not the pastor. God might have a big plans for you to use you far more than the pastor can do. The pastor has a job. You have a job. Satan can come to you and tell you, no, you have a regular job. You have a secular job. No, you are not full-time in the ministry. You have a secular job. You make money. You can give money to the ministry. You can give money to Mexico outreach through the golf tournament. You can be involved in the ministry projects. You can give money to mission organization. I mean, your job can be transformed to a sacred job. We need people to work? Absolutely. Because the pastor cannot leave the church and go find a job, and I can't leave my mission and find a full-time job. So we need people to work. So your job is extremely anointed by God and divinely given to you, and God gave you certain gifts. Well, you don't have a job, you don't have money. Hey, you can pray. You can pray for your pastor. You can pray for RJ, especially RJ. You can pray for the Sunday school. You can pray for, you know, whatever you have, use it to show your love to God and to be used by God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you, God, for your love toward us. God, today we want to tell you we love you. Help us to love you more. God, help us to live for you and sacrifice for you. Help us to love you from all our hearts, all our soul, all our minds. Today is a good day to tell God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. I believe that you are my Savior and you are my Lord. Make me a child of God and help me to walk with God every day. Today is a good day to tell God, help me to love my neighbors and help me to get outside of my comfort zone and self-centered life and go to my neighbor and help my neighbor to have a relationship with you, God. Help me to reveal your love to my neighbors, God. Today is a good day to tell God, help me to love my enemies. Help me to love Muslims and Arabs and to take action for their salvation. Today is a good day to tell God, thank you for Calvary Chapel Brentwood. Thank you that you blessed us. Thank you for Jesus. God, we believe in you that you blessed our church, not only because you love us, but you have big plans, far more than we can even think right now, to use our church as a blessing to multitudes of families, including multitudes of Muslims. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.